بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله وما أصابك من سيئة فمن نفسك. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable ulama-i kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every one of us tools, means that we utilize, we employ to protect and safeguard ourselves from major and severe damage, harm, illness, sickness. Example, a person, every one of us, there would be, as we age, then we will have our yearly test. You go to the doctor, he will do the test, and you say, okay, your sugar is all under control. Cholesterol levels compared to last year are slowly rising. Avoid this red meat and avoid this type of food. And then there will come a time and he'll say, hey, hold on, now you're on borderline. You have to be very, very careful. Change the diet or be ready for the worst. We may just have to do some surgery. You have to go on to chronic medication. When a person hears these things, then he gets worried, he's scared, and he's ready to make all necessary changes to avoid going down that road. There may be some alert in the area that there is break-ins in a certain industrial area. Maybe a person doesn't have, he hasn't beefed up his security system, but the moment he hears it happened across the road, immediately the security company is there the next day. He says, whatever it takes, I rather spend on securing than counting my losses after the break-in. So he takes all of the necessary precaution. When the alarm bells are ringing, we as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in general, many alarm bells are ringing. But the question is, are we taking heed and are we changing the direction of our lives or not? It was very recent, that was the looting, and already some alarms are already ringing to say, well, start this, do that. Some masajid having yasin khatam, dua. So messages are going around of how we need to prepare ourselves once again. This already is a very tension that's been a very tense moment again in the minds of many people. I just got knocked, now already prepare myself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that if we look into the different quarters of the life of Muslims, then there's a lot for us to achieve, there is a lot for us to change. One is the problem knocks on our door, and then we see Quran Sharif, Khatam, let's start fasting, give sadaqah, doing something. Alhamdulillah, in its place. Umar radiallahu anhu saying, he says that avoiding the sin is lighter than the pain of remorse. Avoiding the sin totally is better than going through the whole motion of the consequences and the ill effects of our own sins. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. There may be different reasons for the tests and trials that are coming from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us as a collective ummah. And particular us, the Muslims of South Africa, besides the pandemic, everything else that's happening. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, among the many causes is, O insan, O ummah, that the earnings of your own hands is the result of what you are seen. All this that you are seen around you is the amal you sent up. Those results are coming back down. So as an ummah, we have to have a very firm resolution that inshallah there will never ever be sin in my life. For if there's anything for which we are seeing the ill effects of, it's my own guna and my own sin. Imagine a great muhaddith like Abdul Malik al-Juwayni rahimahullah, a great muhaddith of his time. So eloquent, so smooth flowing in his speech, when he used to deliver his discourses and sermons, that he was par excellence, second to none. No one could reach his rank and status. In Arabic, we will say he was darbul mathal. He was really the scholar of note. But one day as he's delivering his sermon, he's giving his bayan and his talk, and he stutters. So people were shocked. They say, Abdul Malik, you are the scholar of note and today you stuttered. What happened? So he says, one sip of incorrect milk. And he continues. At the end of it, they sat him down. They say, Sheikh, what are you talking about? One sip of milk? He says, when I was a young suckling boy and a child, then my parents were extremely meticulous regarding my upbringing. Absolutely careful. That the earning that used to come into the house was not 100, but more than 100% sure it was halal. That was the food that was prepared and given to all of us to eat. My mother, one day she was preparing some food. And as she's preparing the food, she was busy in her preparation. As a youngster, I was crying. But this was narrated to me at a later stage. The slave girl of the neighbor had come into the house. And the slave girl saw that the child is in distress, mother is preoccupied with cooking. The slave girl grabs the child, pacifies the child, and takes the child to the breast. The child has a few suckles of the breast and is pacified. Father comes in just at that moment, and he grabs his son from that slave girl. He says, no permission, no permission, that's not halal. Your master never give you permission. You never asked ijazah whether you can breastfeed my child. No permission. So he turned, my father turned me upside down. Not to say, but he's masoom. Now he's sinless. He's a child now. He's not going to be taken to task. No, father is worried about the effects of that on his child. Yes, he's not taken to task, but the ill effects, he holds him upside down. He pushes his finger into the mouth of a small child. And the child, this sheikh is saying that I started vomiting. So as much as possible I vomited. But everything didn't come out. That one drop that really digested is the ill effects now you're hearing in this bayan. The ill effects of that one. Just one drop. Juraj rahimahullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. Appears in Sahih Muslim. كان رجلا عابدا. He was really a pious, nek, salih person in his time. Had his place and his monastery place of worship and ibadah pre-Islam. Making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then his mother calls him. Ya Juraj. So he's very busy. وَهُوَ يُصَلِّي. Performing salah or whichever ibadah he was involved in. So when the mother called him, he really started thinking to himself, Allahumma, ummi wa salati. What should I do? Continue with my salah to you, O my Allah? Or break my salah and see to the call of my mother? He says, Ya Allah, continue with the salah. So he carried on. Mother called him again, Ya Juraj. Again, he's deliberating with himself. Allahumma, ummi wa salati. What do I do? Break the salah, see to my mother, continue with the salah. And he continued with his salah. Third time his mother says, Ya Juraj. He ignored the call. Again, Ummi wa Salati, and he continued with his salah. His mother cursed him. And she says, Allahumma fala tumithu hatta turiyahu al-mumimisat. Oh, may Allah don't give death to this son of mine until he doesn't see the face of a loose lady, of an adulteress. So, he continued with his salah, she cursed him. And then very close to his place of ibadah, at the basement there was a lady, very loose lady, and there was a shepherd, Ra'il Ghanam, person who was herding his goats. So this lady offered herself to the shepherd, committed zina, and the child was born. After the child is born, this lady says, this is the son of Juraij. Juraij was very involved in his ibadah, whatever ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no time for anything to take him and distract him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that curse of the mother had to come to being and happen. So he says, I'm involved in the ibadat of Allah. My life is dedicated to ibadat. How can you even accuse me of having a relationship with this lady? He says, this is her claim. Well, you'll have to defend yourself. So he says, I got no proof. How do I defend myself when it never happened? So anyway, the child is born. So he says, okay, bring that lady. Bring the child. Everyone came. So there's the curse of the mother. He sees that loose lady, that lady who committed adultery. He says, I committed zina with you. Yeah, you committed. Where's the child? There's the child. So Juraij, a very pious person, addresses the child. He asks the child, a milk suckling child, Man Abuk, who is your father? Among the very few children that spoke in infancy, one was this. Yes, in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, also a child spoke in the cradle. This child also spoke. So Juraij says, Man Abuk. So the child says, Ra'il Ghanam, the shepherd, not Juraij. Because he was clean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. So people were astounded and they couldn't believe that the child whose milk suckling is talking. So they took his word, but they already broke his entire monastery and his place of ibadah to the ground, raised it down. So they say, Juraij, Hazrat Taklif, maaf, we did the wrong thing. We'll build this place of ibadat back for you with golden bricks. He says, no. Back in the condition how it was, leave the golden bricks. In the same original condition I wanted. How it was, those bricks, put it back. But the curse of the mother, Nabi Sam said, لَوْ كَانَ جُرَيْجٌ عَالِمًا in some narrations, فَقِيهًا. If only Juraij knew to make the correct decision, he erred in his decision. If it's a fard ibadat, and the mother is calling for something unnecessary, continue with your salah. But if it is a nafal salah, and the mother is calling whether necessary or not, you have to respond, break the salah. For that nafal, you can start it over again. You can repeat the nafal. So, that mistake of his, then the curse of the mother. So this was not a direct sin. We will not say that he sinned directly. It was error in judgment, but he saw the ill effects and the consequences of it. Allah protect every one of us. Imagine the direct effects of our sins. Not indirect, the direct effect of our own sins. In the time of Imam Malik rahimullah, there was a lady who passed away. So the ladies of the locality came and they were giving ghusl to this lady. As they giving ghusl to this lady, one lady said and she uttered, this lady committed zina with so and so. As she said that, her hand is stuck. The ghusl continues. She's trying to remove her hand, can't. You see, come let's, we can go now, we need to do the kafan. She says, but my hand doesn't come out. Her hand just wouldn't leave, it's stuck onto the body of the deceased. So they say, okay, wait, hold on, let's wait and see what we can do. Call the doctors, call everyone. Her hand just wouldn't release from the body. Eventually the family of the deceased says, cut her hands, we need to make ghusl and kafan. So they said, no, you can't cut her hands, what wrong she did? So the second day they said, okay, how about cutting a part of the flesh of the deceased? So her hand is free. He says, no. But the deceased didn't do anything wrong. So now they're stuck. By the third day, a stench and a foul smell was coming out and emanating from this body. So they come to Imam Malik rahimullah. They say, "Oh Imam Malik, this is the dilemma, this is where we find ourselves, what do we do?" Catch 22. Imam Malik rahimullah says, okay, from behind the veil, he questions the lady. He says, listen, while you were making the ghusl and doing the ghusl of this lady, did you perchance utter any statement? Did you say anything in ignorance, in mistake, in error? She said, yes, I said something, but it was in a very low tone and voice. Okay, what did you say? I said that this lady committed zina. Not everyone heard me. I say, okay, did this lady tell you she committed zina? No. Did you see the lady committing zina? No. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَىٰ. Well, you have accused and slandered a very chaste, free lady of zina. You'll have to bring four witnesses. Lady says, I have no four witnesses. Well, the Quran says 80 lashes. We'll have to give you 80 lashes. As your hand is stuck, you bend down and we're giving you 80 lashes. So the moment they finished with the 80th lash, her hand was released. Then only her hand was released. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This may not happen, that our hands will get stuck. It may not happen that the thunderbolt will come and kill us. It may not happen what we read in the past. But قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power and the authority, has that qudrat, that the punishment will come to us in such ways and avenues, you just dumbstruck. You cannot believe yourself. But I did everything possible, they still broke in. I mean, I had all the security and they still kidnapped my son. No, that's not making sense. Who's the sellout? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such, when a person commits sin, then at times, rosy and risk is taken away. At time that weakens the heart and the soul, that you can't wake up for fajr, you can't read Quran. The moment, sometimes people say, I can't sleep. They say, make zikrullah, you'll sleep away. Subhanallah, the pious people making zikrullah, they stay awake. We have to make zikr, read Quran to sleep. Why? Because the heart is weakened. And when a person continues sinning, the most astute of businessmen will make such foolish mistakes and errors in his business that everyone cannot believe it. You see, he made such a foolish mistake. How could he have ever invested there? We all knew it was a pyramid scheme. How he invested over there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects. But there is hope, especially in this time and age. When we want protection as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want protection for our children. Person is rich, he's worried, kidnapping. Our businesses, we want protection. Our wealth, our health. Every aspect of life we desire and we want. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظُكَ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith in Tirmizi Sharif. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ. Protect and guard the deen of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect and guard you. You, your property, your family and your entire belongings. What an amazing incident. Mawlana Muhammad Amin Safdar, he has written an incident that had taken place. He says someone sent a letter from Wuhari. It was an area. And they said that we haven't had a program on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever in our area. Please come and deliver something on the seerah. So he responded with that letter and he says, no problem, fix the date and I'm coming for the program. Everything was arranged. On that day he comes to this area. He disembarks from the train. The moment he comes out, and then the host is there to meet him, and he showers him with gifts. He says, Hazrat, take the gifts, go back on the train and go back home. Maaf, we're not having the program. He says, wait, hold on. Everything was agreed. I've come for the program, but why go back home? He says, well, we are 90% Qadianis here, people who don't believe in the Khatme Nubuwat, so it's dangerous. They're threatening our lives. You're going to have the program, they're going to attack us. He says, well, because you said that, I will stand guard for the honor and the integrity and the respect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now it's not bayan on seerah. Now it's to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're having the program. He says, okay, we're having the program, but how do we have this program? He says, any influential people in the area? You see, in this area, yeah, there's one gangster, his name is Noora. Everyone's scared of him. He says, take me to Noora. So they think, Hazrat, he goes to Noora, knocks on the door. What brings Hazrat Maulana to me? He's a gangster. What brings Hazrat Maulana to me? So he says, see, we want to have a program on the seerah of Rasulullah. We're very worried. There's a threat coming from the Qadianis. We want you to stand guard. He says, stand guard, you're going to have program to honor Rasulullah? Definitely. I may be a gangster, but I'm not a ignorant person. I'm not so mad and stupid and foolish. I'll stand guard. No problem. You'll have the bayan. They took Noora, they had the program, 3-hour bayan Maulana gave. Noora is at the door, no person dared come in. After the bayan, Noora stands up, the gangster. He says, if anyone dare raise his eyebrows to a Muslim of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he'll never pass Noora. So people got scared. They said, Noora, you doing this for the Muslims? He says, okay, everything was calm. Couple months later, Maulana is busy authoring his work, and then suddenly he sees someone with a kurta and a turban and a tasbih, and on his tongue is Durood Sharif, Durood Sharif. And he comes in, Hazrat says, MashaAllah, Assalamu Alaikum. Kon, who are you? So he says, Hazrat, that one night I stood guard for you when you gave that bayan. The next, that same night when I went home, I was very tired. I slept away and I had the ziyarat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Sam comes and he hugs me. He kisses me on the forehead. He says, Noora, you stood guard for me. Today me and Allah will stand guard for you. All your sins are forgiven. Noora is saying, Hazrat, I can't stop the tears. The tears are just rolling. I don't know why. I'm just crying all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the tawfiq and the ability. When we stand guard for the deen of Allah today, in this season, for the rest of our lives, inshallah we make an effort. We're not saying you cannot swim, but you have to be wearing the suitable attire and the gear. You need to be making sure that the satr is covered. We're not saying you can't cycle, but make sure you do it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything according to the sunnah. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظُ. Everyone is allowed to do business, but we make sure it's according to sunnah. Whatever we do from today, if anything is going to attract the wrath of Allah, then the du'as we are making, how do we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept those du'as? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and the ability that we get all sin out of our lives, inshaAllah. And we stand guard to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbi subhanahu wa ta'ala.